Chapter 7 of The Death of Ivan Ilyich by Leo Tolstoy. How it came to pass during the third month of Ivan Ilyich's illness, it would be impossible to say, for it happened little by little, imperceptibly. But it had come to pass that his wife and his daughter and his son and their servants, and their acquaintances and the doctors, and, most of all, he himself, all were aware that all interest in him for other people consisted now in the question how soon he would leave his place empty, free the living from the constraint of his presence, and be set free himself from his sufferings. He slept less and less. They gave him opium and began to inject morphine. But this did not relieve him. The dull pain he experienced in the half-asleep condition at first only relieved him as a change. But then it became as bad, or even more agonizing, than the open pain. He had special things to eat prepared for him according to the doctor's prescriptions, but these dishes became more and more distasteful, more and more revolting to him. Special arrangements, too, had to be made for his other physical needs, and this was a continual misery to him. Misery from the uncleanliness, the unseemliness, and the stench, from the feeling of another person having to assist in it. But just from this most unpleasant side of his illness, there came comfort to Ivan Ilyich. There always came into his room on these occasions, to clear up for him, the peasant who waited at table, Gerasim. Gerasim was a clean, fresh, young peasant who had grown stout and hearty on the good fare in town, always cheerful and bright. At first, the sight of this lad, always cleanly dressed in the Russian style, engaged in this revolting task, embarrassed Ivan Ilyich. One day, getting up from the night-stool, too weak to replace his clothes, he dropped onto a soft, low chair and looked with horror at his bare, powerless thighs, with the muscles so sharply standing out on them. Then there came in with light, strong steps Gerasim in his thick boots, diffusing a pleasant smell of tar from his boots, and bringing in the freshness of the winter air. Wearing a clean hempen apron and a clean cotton shirt, with his sleeves tucked up on his strong, bare young arms, without looking at Ivan Ilyich, obviously trying to check the radiant happiness in his face so as not to hurt the sick man, he went up to the night-stool. "Gerasim," said Ivan Ilyich faintly. Gerasim started, clearly afraid that he had done something amiss, and with a rapid movement turned towards the sick man his fresh, good-natured, simple young face, just beginning to be downy with the first growth of beard. "Yes, Your Honor." "I'm afraid this is very disagreeable for you. You must excuse me. I can't help it." "Why, upon my word, sir!" And Gerasim's eyes beamed, and he showed his white young teeth in a smile. "What's a little trouble? It's a case of illness with you, sir." And with his deft, strong arms he performed his habitual task, and went out, stepping lightly. And 5 minutes later, treading just as lightly, he came back. Ivan Ilyich was still sitting in the same way in the armchair. "Gerasim," he said, when the latter had replaced the night-stool, all sweet and clean, "please help me. Come here." Gerasim went up to him. "Lift me up. It's difficult for me alone, and I've sent Dmitri away." Gerasim went up to him. As lightly as he stepped, he put his strong arms round him, deftly and gently lifted and supported him, with the other hand pulled up his trousers, and would have set him down again. But Ivan Ilyich asked him to carry him to the sofa. Gerasim, without effort, carefully not squeezing him, led him, almost carrying him, to the sofa, and settled him there. "Thank you. How neatly and well you do everything." Gerasim smiled again, and would have gone away, but Ivan Ilyich felt his presence such a comfort that he was reluctant to let him go. "Oh, move that chair near me, please. No, that one, under my legs. I feel easier when my legs are higher." Gerasim picked up the chair, and without letting it knock, set it gently down on the ground just at the right place, and lifted Ivan Ilyich's legs onto it. It seemed to Ivan Ilyich that he was easier just at the moment when Gerasim lifted his legs higher. "I'm better when my legs are higher," said Ivan Ilyich. "Put that cushion under me." Gerasim did so. Again he lifted his legs to put the cushion under him. Again it seemed to Ivan Ilyitch that he was easier at that moment when Gerasim held his legs raised. When he laid them down again, he felt worse. "Gerasim," he said to him, "are you busy just now?"
"Not at all, sir," said Gerasim, who had learned among the town-bred servants how to speak to gentlefolks.
"What have you left to do?"
"Why, what have I to do? I've done everything. There's only the wood to chop for tomorrow."
"Then hold my legs up like that, can you?"
"To be sure I can." Gerasim lifted the legs up, and it seemed to Ivan Ilyitch that in that position he did not feel the pain at all.
"But how about the wood?"
"Don't you trouble about that, sir. We shall have time enough."
Ivan Ilyitch made Gerasim sit and hold his legs, and began to talk to him. And strange to say, he fancied he felt better while Gerasim had hold of his legs. From that time forward, Ivan Ilyitch would sometimes call Gerasim and get him to hold his legs on his shoulders, and he liked talking with him. Gerasim did this easily, readily, simply, and with a good nature that touched Ivan Ilyitch. Health, strength, and hardiness, and all other people were offensive to Ivan Ilyitch, but the strength and hardiness of Gerasim did not mortify him, but soothed him. Ivan Ilyitch's great misery was due to the deception that for some reason or other everyone kept up with him, that he was simply ill and not dying, and that he need only keep quiet and follow the doctor's orders, and then some great change for the better would be the result. He knew that whatever they might do, there would be no result except more agonizing sufferings and death. And he was made miserable by this lie, made miserable at their refusing to acknowledge what they all knew and he knew, by their persisting in lying over him about his awful position, and in forcing him, too, to take part in this lie. Lying, lying, this lying carried on over him on the eve of his death, and destined to bring that terrible, solemn act of his death down to the level of all their visits, curtains, sturgeons for dinner, was a horrible agony for Ivan Ilyitch. And, strange to say, many times when they had been going through the regular performance over him, he had been within a hair's breadth of screaming at them, "Cease your lying! You know, and I know, that I'm dying, so do, at least, give over lying!" But he had never had the spirit to do this. The terrible, awful act of his dying was, he saw, by all those about him, brought down to the level of a casual, unpleasant, and, to some extent, indecorous incident, somewhat as they would behave with a person who should enter a drawing-room smelling unpleasant. It was brought down to this level by that very decorum to which he had been enslaved all his life. He saw that no one felt for him, because no one would even grasp his position. Gerasim was the only person who recognized the position and felt sorry for him, and that was why Ivan Ilyitch was only at ease with Gerasim. He felt comforted when Gerasim sometimes supported his legs for whole nights at a stretch and would not go away to bed, saying, "Don't you worry yourself, Ivan Ilyitch, I'll get sleep enough yet." Or, when suddenly dropping into the familiar peasant forms of speech, he added, "If thou weren't sick, but as 'tis, 'twould be strange if I didn't wait on thee." Gerasim alone did not lie. Everything showed clearly that he alone understood what it meant, and saw no necessity to disguise it, and simply felt sorry for his sick, wasting master. He even said this once straight out when Ivan Ilyitch was sending him away. "We shall all die, so what's a little trouble?" he said, meaning by this to express that he did not complain of the trouble just because he was taking this trouble for a dying man, and he hoped that for him, too, someone would be willing to take the same trouble when his time came. Apart from this deception, or in consequence of it, what made the greatest misery for Ivan Ilyitch was that no one felt for him as he would have liked them to feel for him. At certain moments, after prolonged suffering, Ivan Ilyitch, ashamed as he would have been to own it, longed more than anything for someone to feel sorry for him, as for a sick child. He longed to be petted, kissed, and wept over, as children are petted and comforted. He knew that he was an important member of the law courts, that he had a beard turning gray, and that therefore it was impossible. But still, he longed for it. And in his relations with Gerasim there was something approaching to that. And that was why being with Gerasim was a comfort to him. Ivan Ilyitch longs to weep, longs to be petted and wept over.
and then there comes in a colleague, Shebek, and instead of weeping and being petted, Ivan Ilyich puts on his serious, severe, earnest face, and from mere inertia gives his views on the effect of the last decision in the Court of Appeal, and obstinately insists upon them. This falsity around him and within him did more than anything to poison Ivan Ilyich's last days. End of chapter 7. Read by Laurie Ann Walden.